don't know about you guys, but I'm so thankful that we have that same power, the power of God's Spirit, the power of God's love living in us to start off this new year, 2020, and to hopefully get things started on the right foot. And I have thought about that, like, if you're left-handed, does that mean you get it started on the left foot? Is that really a thing? I'm not sure about that, but it's just sometimes my mind goes a little down a trail. But if you were with us last week, I had one of you guys, I think you're here right this moment. Well, not sure. I don't see you typically here right this moment. But one of you guys last week, you pointed out to me that my family picture was inadequate, that it was uncalled for as far as the series. And we were talking about You Matter, and I only included three of our five, you know, of total. So literally, one of you guys go, so Tim, as he was leaving out in the foyer, he's like, Tim, oh, there he is, Mike. You go, Tim, you don't matter. Clearly, you don't matter. You weren't in the picture. He's gone out. So I just wanted to say, Mike, we went to the Sixers game this week. We had a great time together. Someone gifted us with some tickets, so that was fun. And my daughter Kaylee, she and the student team, they're on tour this morning. Unabandoned. They're playing at another church, which is really cool. But she gave me a dad joke for every day of 2020. And so the one earlier, that was my own. These are much better. Did you hear about the giant who threw up? It's all over town. How does Moses make tea? He brews. I've been loving these things. Let me tell you. So anyhow, if you were with us last week, we really hope that you got this idea that you matter. You matter simply because you're created in His image. You're created in His likeness. You are fashioned and formed and put together by God Himself. You're His handiwork, His work of art. It's a beautiful thing. And you think about, I had another opportunity this week in another setting to share this too. And just to talk about the idea that, you know, that humans are the climax of God's creative handiwork. That's you. That's me. Like, wow. He said it's good. And then after making humans, he was like, it's very good. Now, you know, he was just super pumped. And I hope that you were just blessed in thinking about your own value and thinking about how much worth you carry simply because, and simply because you're created in His image. And I failed to mention it last week, but a verse that we're using for this series is, for Christ's love compels us. When we know the love of Jesus, when we know how much He cares for us, when we think and reflect on that and just accept that as true, because sometimes it is hard to accept it as true that we matter or the people around us matter, but for Christ's love compels us. The end of the verse there, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died. You know, that we might be compelled to live for Christ, that we might be compelled to see others, to live for others too, and to love others. And if you were here last week, we ended the service with Maya and Mason sharing about their family's tradition of going down to Philly and how they see the homeless while they're there and try to interact and love them and share God's worth with them during their time there. Just really cool. But enough about last week. I'm so excited about today. I want to invite Jen up here. Jen's going to come up and join us on stage, and we're going to walk through a bunch of stuff here this morning. But really excited to have Jen a part of our morning here. She's a professional counselor in town that we refer to a lot and have had just a lot of great experiences with that way, so thank you for your work in that way. She was a professor at Hatfield Biblical when Pastor Aaron was working on his master's in counseling, one of his professors there, so that was really awesome too, and just really excited to have her here. I mean, a challenging topic, but also look forward to the learning of understanding more about human trafficking, another group of people that maybe at times we overlook and don't see. And so just want to give it to you as we, let's give Jen a warm welcome as she comes here this morning.
Good Thank you. Very, very happy to be here today because January is National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And yesterday was National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. So I'm very excited to be here, very excited to be a part of a church who's willing to talk about difficult topics. And like Missy was saying, this isn't necessarily going to be comfortable. It might even be a little awkward. But if we're not talking about it as God followers from here, then where are we learning? Where are we knowing? Where are we? What are we doing? So I first just want to say I'm super excited. I did not trip up the steps either service. So now I feel like whatever happens next, like smooth sailing. Like it's really like I'm gonna trip this time and I didn't. So thanks. So
what we always said in dirt bikes is what goes up must come down.
There you go.
We still have to go down.
So now when I walk down, everyone's gonna be staring at me to see is she going down.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself and
sure.
how you got involved in this topic? And
sure. So my name is Jennifer Zook. I have a master's in counseling, and I'm a licensed professional counselor. I have my Bachelor of Science in Psychology from East Stroudsburg University, and I have my Master's of Counseling from Biblical Theological Seminary, where I then taught for 14 years in their graduate school of counseling program, which is where I met Aaron. Aaron was a great student, just so you all know. So,
we were wondering. Yeah,
no,
we really were wondering.
He was a great student. And so it was really exciting to reconnect later in life and have this connection here. So that's been really fun. I was a victim advocate for 5 years with Crime Victims Council of the Lehigh Valley. It was my first job out of college and where God really sparked the passion in me that this is the population that he needed me, wanted me, desired me to work with. And so that was an exciting time. I've been a counselor for over 20 years, counseled in a variety of different settings, church-based counseling centers, residential programs. I was the director and therapist for The Well, which is a program through Worthwhile Wear, which is an organization that works with women who have been sexually exploited and trafficked. We have a safe home in Bucks County. And in the Lehigh Valley, also you have VAST, Valley Against Sex Trafficking, and they also have a home for women. That's what I did, right? So now I have a private practice right in Quakertown on Broad Street in the Free Press Building. You know, the big white building with the big white columns. Can't miss it. I'm in there. My associate and I, Melissa, also worked at The Well with me and was a student of mine. And so we provide counseling. We have some cards at the table, the welcome table back there for you. So that's kind of
what
I am.
Sounds great. Thanks for introducing yourself
sure.
that way. Help us understand the topic this morning as we think about human trafficking. Maybe help us understand that more and help us understand what that looks like.
Sure. So Pastor Dave let me know that these slides are going to be, can't take the teacher out of me. I have slides, I have notes, can't help it. But I'm not going to be able to get through everything. And so these slides are going to be made available on the website for you afterwards so that you can take a better look and at the different resources and recommendations that I have for you. But one of the things that I think is really hard to get our mind around that human trafficking exists, not only exists, but is extremely prevalent in our country as well as other countries. And we have to look at human trafficking as modern day slavery. There's an estimated 32 million people in slavery somewhere in the world right now. That's a big number to get your mind around, but there are more slaves in the world today than at any other point in history. Now, there's a lot of definitions, and I'm not going to read through them all. That's for you to look at later, just to kind of wrap your mind around what is human trafficking, what is sex trafficking, what is sexual exploitation. And so I have all those definitions there for you, but I do just want to read one of them, the little policeman icon there, which just FYI was a big deal for me because I am not tech savvy in any way. So these slides are pretty phenomenal for me. So new templates, icons. I was going crazy. I think I sent Pastor Dave like 4 revisions. No, this is the one. No, this is the one. But I do want to draw your attention to the definition of human trafficking, which is the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of a person. Can we just feel that for a moment? A person. A soul. By means of the threat of use of force, fraud, coercion, or deception for the purpose of exploitation. And those words become really important in the legal definition because that is how we prosecute, not me personally, other people prosecute human trafficking and sex trafficking cases. Again, just some definitions to kind of help you understand the difference between sexual exploitation and sex trafficking. One of the things that I want to focus on today is, yes, it is true that people get kidnapped and forced into trafficking and that people from other countries get brought into the United States. But within U.S. borders, most of the victims of human trafficking are U.S. citizens. So within our own borders, the victims of human trafficking, domestic sex trafficking, minor sex trafficking are U.S. citizens. There are different types of what that looks like. That could look like forced prostitution on the street or in brothels or in homes. It can look like strip clubs, pornography, peep shows, massage parlors. And any type of involvement in the sex industry is known as the life. And so that's the term that I'll use, you'll hear me use often this morning. So again, just some information. I don't want to bore you or overwhelm you with it, but I wanted to make sure that you have it.
Yeah, I know the first service especially, but even hearing it again, like it's so easy to think it's an out there thing and big numbers. You know, 30 million, and it's sort of like out there. But when you read through that definition and you think through, no, this is a person. This is, you know, as we've been thinking through this series, that each person matters. You matter. Like, this is someone's daughter. This is someone's child. This is someone. And there's a heaviness with that that it's hard to get past, you know, it's hard to process. And so I guess we do realize, like, this is heavy. This is sort of heavy in that sense.
Right.
Help us continue to understand.
Sure. And again, it is heavy because we're talking big numbers. Again, 32 million. I can't find the slide on my notes. So, between 18,000 and 20,000 victims are brought into the United States every year. And then an estimated, and again, because we can only estimate, 300,000 to 400,000 women and girls involved in domestic sex trafficking every year in our country of U.S. citizens. And half of them are under the age of 18.
I know the one thing you mentioned on this slide was the idea that it's the second largest and second fastest growing criminal industry worldwide.
Right. So it's
help us understand.
It's growing really.
Happening.
It's growing really fast because the thingy's not working now. But that's okay because I'm just gonna roll with it. Because you can sell a drug, a product, thank you, a weapon, one time. You can sell a person multiple times. And there's very high reward and very low risk because the law is slow to catch up to what is happening. And there have been significant changes and movement in legislation, which has been great. Pennsylvania is now one of the better states. We have really strong laws with really strong teeth to it. We used to kind of be on the bottom of the list, but a few years ago, some laws were passed. And now Pennsylvania is one of the best states that have laws against domestic sex trafficking. So it's very exciting. But unfortunately, There's still federally and state by state laws that are just not able to catch up with how fast this is moving, especially with technology and the internet, right? And so in the 80s, traffickers who tend to present themselves as boyfriends, and we'll talk about that, would target malls where, you know, where we used to hang out, right? So I'm dating myself. I know. I look great for my age. Thank you. Right? So they'd go to the mall. But, thank you. Give me an amen to that. All right. Very feisty, this service. I like that. Well, now they don't even have to do that because of the internet. And they're talking to our middle schoolers and our high schoolers, and they know what to say, and they know how to groom, and they know what to do to get into their life. And not just that, but what we culturally find as acceptable. I had mentioned in the first service there, a lot of what we see in domestic sex trafficking is what we call pimp-controlled trafficking. And every year in different cities, there's a pimp ball, and famous pimps bring all their girls and show them off and trade and sell, and everybody knows about it, and police can't enforce anything about it. And so, and we laugh at that, and we're like, ha-ha, you know, you turn a movie on, you turn on a show, and there's a joke about strippers or prostitutes, or and we laugh and we think it's okay. And so we wonder why our society hasn't shifted to be doing something about this. Because what have we said is okay? What are we saying is acceptable? Can I have my clicker?
Yeah, and I think it's, yes, absolutely.
My clicker.
I think it's working.
Yeah, now it's working. Thank you. And so, I'm sorry. Yes, Pastor Dave is totally in charge of what's happening right here. Right? Yes,
no,
did you have a question for me?
No, that's entirely not true.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, that's fine. You're on a roll.
Yeah, I am, so I'm gonna keep going. Okay. Some misconceptions, again, that we have, and Pastor Dave, you mentioned one of them, is that it's a very over there problem, that it's not a right here, right now problem, but it is, you know, or it's a city problem, you know, in the bad parts of Philly, you know, in Kensington, or we're talking New York, we're talking Las Vegas, Miami, we're not talking Quakertown. We're not talking Bucks County, but we are. A few other misconceptions is we often look at the life as a victimless crime. Isn't this empowering to women? Women want to be there. Don't they look so happy to be doing these things? When I was working at the well, our first participant, I'll never forget something she said to me. She said, "You can tell the difference of how long someone's been working in the industry." And I said, "How so?" And she said, for the first 6 months, you know, there's a lot of, yes, I want this, and I love this, and I'm in control, and which is a complete illusion. She goes, about 6 months in, they'll have dead eyes. And they'll walk around with the fake facade, but you look into their eyes, and they'll be dead, because their soul is dead. And we'd watch documentaries and things together, and she'd say, see, dead eyes. That doesn't sound like a victimless crime to me. And when we talk about choice, let's think about how we're talking about choice. Missy made a really great point in connection, because what we know about victims of human trafficking is that 85 to 90% of them were sexually abused. Sexually abused as children, usually by someone who was supposed to be a caretaker or a nurturer to them. What we then find is they were often re-victimized later in life in their teen years, a sexual assault, a rape. So when did they have a choice? When did they choose their boundaries? When did they choose the power over their yes and no? No one wakes up and says, hey, I think I want to sleep with 10 to 20 men every night and give my money away to my boyfriend. They never learned their value and their worth in themselves. It's now about their body parts. We talk about, you know, I often say, what would you do? What would you do if someone from the life walked in here? How would you look at them? What would you think about them? Drug addict, dirty, don't belong here. Where else should they go? And the truth is about, with drugs, it's very complicated. traffickers will often purposefully get their victims addicted to drugs because then they have control over them. Because then they give them a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. Because, right? The choice. Why don't they just leave? They can't. And then they often use drugs to deal with what is happening to them on a daily basis. And so just our perceptions become very important about how we look at this topic and how we look at these people. And again, the misconception of it's an over there problem, it's not a right here problem, and it's not a for me problem. These are just some articles that I pulled off the web. I'm going to go through these real quick, but just to show you, it is happening right here in our backyards. Lehigh Valley, Philadelphia, Norristown, Allentown, Souderton, Allentown, Reading, Souderton, Bensalem. You'll see a lot of Bensalem here, and that's for two reasons. One, the Bensalem Police Department is kicking butt in this area. They are extremely one of the police departments in Bucks County that is involved. They're involved with NOVA, Network of Victim Assistance, the Bucks County Against Trafficking Coalition. They're at every meeting. I've seen them there. I've talked to their officers. And secondly, in Bensalem, you have the casino. So you see a lot of trafficking there. So, again, shout out to the Bensalem Police Department because mm-hmm. they're doing a great job. Philadelphia, Lansdale. Again, I just show all those to say, like, it is happening right here. It is right here. It is right now. And we have to care about it.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate you opening our eyes to that, maybe helping us see that. Maybe it's the first time, you know, you've been sort of confronted with the reality of this, at least to this degree. I know for me this is very educational, and even as a parent, again, or as a person that works in the community a lot, certainly want to know what we should be looking for, or how we could help someone if we come across someone that's in this situation, or even as a parent too. It's difficult as Christians too, that we want to be open to interacting with anyone and accepting everyone, and that challenge of trying to be accepting and yet also trying to be aware that there are things that we don't want to get pulled into out there,
right.
People that we do have to be careful as we interact with.
Right, and especially that our youth interacts with. So as parents, or if you have any youth in your life, nieces, nephews, if you're a part of serving the youth group here, these are things that you can be looking out for. Let me say, okay, that you can't just pull out one thing on this list and be like, oh my gosh, this is happening to my child. This is a lot of teenage behavior, period. No offense to teenagers. But so you can't just look at one thing and be like, oh my gosh, oh no. So don't panic. And what you're really doing is looking for, is there a lifestyle change? Are all of these things working together somehow? Or am I noticing some of these things? I did this talk at a church a couple years ago. And a week later, I had parents sitting in my office saying, every single one, we see every single one, what do we do? What do we do? And at that time, their daughter was not ready to receive help, but eventually she was, and I had the privilege of being able to be her therapist. So,
that's awesome.
Again, just in a, it doesn't happen to me, it's not around here. Mm-hmm. So just some things to be aware of, changes in schedule. Is the youth in your life, are they out all night, sleeping all day, not going to school, not going to their jobs? Changes in terminology, words that you've never heard them say before or heard before, like the life, in the game, referring to their friends as family, or they're a wifey. Like just odd words that maybe you hadn't heard before. Look them up. You can see what they mean. An increased dependence on drugs and alcohol, a new tattoo. And here's why, again, in and of itself, getting a tattoo is not wrong. But unless doctrinally you believe that, and then I just stirred up the whole
thing. Did you see her? She hesitated for a quick moment there.
Send your emails to Pastor Dave, not me.
I have one.
But someone getting a tattoo is not a big deal. But often traffickers do use tattoos to brand their women. And so, yes, just like on SVU, maybe you've seen barcodes or something, but it doesn't even have to be as overt as that. So there's a story of a young girl And her parents even met this boyfriend, and he drew her a picture of a butterfly, and she had it tattooed on the back of her neck. Well, come to find out, that's how he branded all his girls. And so, you know, it doesn't have to be like, hi, I'm a trafficker. Like, it's not going to be like that. But just, again, all of these things working together is what you're looking for, not necessarily just one of these things. Stop hanging out with the friends that they've had for a long time and having new friends. Changes in their clothing, clothes that they never wore before, or clothes and accessories you know they didn't buy on their own, you didn't buy them, and you know they can't afford them. So again, just all things to be looking at and aware of. Anytime there's an exchange for sex and money or drugs or an item like clothing or something, obviously that's an overt sign. But one thing that we have found over the last few years is a new target area to youth in suburban middle-class homes with young girls who are struggling with low self-esteem and low self-worth. And someone comes along and says, hey, you're really beautiful. Hey, I really like you. I love you. Look at what your parents are doing. They don't know you. They don't get you. I get you. And the next thing you know, they're doing things that they never thought they would do. Because it's manipulation. It's emotional coercion. And so if they're not hearing that from us at church, at their youth group, in their local youth organizations, in your family, they're going to hear it from someone else. And who do you want them to hear from? Hopefully in the right places, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good reminder for any one of us that has family or has children or grandchildren or someone that you care about close to you, that you somehow communicate to them even today. You know, how much they are loved, how much they are valued.
How much they matter.
Yeah, that's right.
Get it?
Good connection.
See how I did that? Thanks. Thanks, I listen. So there are some things that we can do. Get involved. We have organizations all over the county and our surrounding counties that are involved in this issue. NOVA is one of them, Network of Victim Assistance, Bucks County Against Trafficking, VAST, Valley Against Sex Trafficking, Worthwhile Wear, and I have all of those listed for you. But support local youth organizations, whatever they are, whether it's here at your youth group or I know you guys do stuff at the park, and that's important. Support that. Be involved with that, because if they don't have anywhere to go, someone will find a place for them to go. Support laws that support victims of sexual exploitation and trafficking. Again, there has been a huge shift, and the laws are going after traffickers, and whereas before, the victims were getting arrested, and so there's been a huge shift. And so support the laws that are changing our societal and cultural perceptions. Don't be involved in it. And I know this is hard to talk about, and I know that addiction is real, but don't be involved in pornography, buying it, viewing it. Often victims are used against their will to do that. And so just be aware just of what you do. Okay, so you may not be on the front lines at an organization, at a meeting, or at Capitol Hill fighting for a law to be passed. But what are you doing in your home? What do you allow on your TV? What messages are we giving our young girls about their bodies? What messages are we giving to our young men about women's bodies? Turn on the TV. I can't anymore because it sickens me. Sorry, that was my own personal thing. Sorry.
It's all really good. They're real things that we, I think each one of us, if we're honest, like a deep down in our hearts when we're watching TV or where something's going on in our home, like I think we wrestle with the same challenges.
But that's only if you know. So before I was involved in any of this, I didn't know. I laughed along to the jokes. I was watching a rerun of one of my favorite shows, King of Queens. Any of those King of Queens? Any? Funny show. Anyway, there was this one funny, you know, the stripper shows up and she has a broken leg and ha ha ha, strippers and ha ha ha, this. And I was like, oh my gosh, I laughed. I didn't know any better. Now I know, and now you know. And I want you to leave here and I want you to see things differently. Because that's the only way we're going to see people differently. And it's the only way that we can bring forth change. Because if you look throughout time and history, Christians are the ones who have brought forth major change in the world and in time and in history. Yeah. Who went out to take care of the orphans, the widows, the neglected, the abused? Christ followers. And what are people going to think when they look back on this time? They're going to ask, why didn't we do anything? Why didn't we stand up? Why didn't we say this was wrong? And so this is our time in history to bring forth change, to make a difference.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay, so, and one way you can do that is there is a national hotline for human trafficking. I just saw a commercial on TV the other day. I was moved to my core, and it was called Take a Second Look. Take a second look and you can save someone's life. Now, I will admit, I overlook. I'm always, especially, so you're talking about Missy's, she shared some statistics, right? So I look around and I'm like, I know the people in here have been traumatized. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry if this is bringing up some stuff for you. That's hard. I also know wherever I go, someone is abusing someone. And we were out to a diner recently, and my husband's trying to talk to me, and he's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just making sure that's okay, because he looks older than her. And I'm at my nail tech. Some boyfriend's getting his girlfriend's nails done, and I'm, what are you doing? To my nail tech. Where do you live? Did you get vacation? So I take probably like 10 looks. But the point being, even if something's suspicious, call the number. You say, I live in this area, I saw something. I have no other information than I saw something. That information goes to a police department. Now they know something. Now they have a record of something. So just being aware, and then also being aware of your personal beliefs. Because what would you do if someone from the life walked in here? How would you see them? What would you do for them? Are they dirty? Don't get involved? Too messy? I don't know. That doesn't sound like Jesus to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I think that really connects well with how we ended last week, the idea of seeing those around you. And that is one way that each one of us can help in our own lives. Like as we're going through life, you know, as we're walking out here today, wherever we might go, being more aware of the people around us and asking them how they're doing, asking them a few questions just to try to, who knows, you know, maybe someone's looking for a way out of something they're feeling trapped in at that point, and we can be that help. So
yeah.
I know you talked about a verse. We talked about
yes.
some different verses.
I just want to say I have a list of resources. A lot of these I mentioned through my talk this morning, right. And there's websites to each of them. Because I want to make it super easy for you. And then also just some different resources, references, books, articles, videos, if you're interested in learning more. But let me just ask of you one thing. That first link there to Diane Langberg's video, I'm going to ask that this, if you care about nothing else about what I said, or you walk away and it, whatever, but just commit to please watch that video. It's 17 minutes of your life. I'd say commit to me, but you don't know me. So right now, can you just commit to God? Yes, the big guy upstairs, that's right. That you'll watch that 17-minute video. She calls Christians to care about this issue because she calls this the mission field of our time. Human trafficking is the mission field of our time. And if we are truly going to be Christ followers, then we have to be lovers of justice. And that's why one of my favorite verses that is important to me is, of course, Michael 6:8. And we've all heard that, right? What does the Lord require of you but to do justice and all that? But I wanted to read a few verses before, and then I'll tell you why. So this is Micah 6:6-8. With what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God on high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does the Lord take delight in thousands of rams, in 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? And I read those verses and I think all of the things I do, or all the sacrifices or the giving, right? The rams and my firstborn, and I'm going to do all this. But what am I being? Am I being justice? Because that's who Jesus was. And if that's who Jesus was, that's who we have to be. And so it doesn't matter what we give or what we do. It does matter. It does matter a little bit. I realize I'm in church saying these things. So, you know, but it's not about rule following. It's about loving and seeking justice for the least of these. Yeah. And these are people who are definitely the least of these.
Yeah, no, we fully agree with you there. And I know as I got to sit down and interact with you in preparation for this, I really appreciated that obviously learned a lot. But I love the connection of the counseling side of trying to understand life, but then also connecting that to biblical truth and how we live our lives as Christ followers. And I had asked in your office, I asked about a favorite verse, and you brought up this Habakkuk. You want to share about that a little bit?
Yes, I do. So he asked me what my favorite verses were, and I chuckled because I said, oh, I have some, but they're not your typical go-to verses that everyone's probably really going to like. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to say, and then you tell me if I'm allowed to say it.
And I said, say it.
He did. He said, go ahead, say it. Again, emails go to him. Okay. So Habakkuk 3:17-18 says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Why those verses speak to me is because verse 17 is saying life is hard. Now, okay, so we're not an agricultural society anymore, so maybe that doesn't hit us as hard. Put in your stuff. Though what? Though fill in the blank of what you've had to go through in this sinful, fallen, broken world, because it's hard. So verse 17 is all about life sucking. Verse 18 is about me being saved. So verse 18 doesn't change my verse 17. It doesn't change what I've been through or what I'm going through. It might not even make it better. But in counseling, I'm walking alongside people because really isn't the tension of the Christian life how to do this, how to live in a world of life sucks and I'm saved. Both of those things are true. And that's what that verse is saying. And if you want proof from the New Testament, I'll give you one. My other favorite verse, again, not for the reason you're probably thinking, but we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. And we like to focus on the other half of those verses because they make us feel good. And they're true. Yes, we are not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not abandoned. We're not destroyed. But we are also at the exact same time hard-pressed, perplexed, persecuted. Struck down. Whatever your verse 17 is, and people come to me for all different reasons of what their verse 17 is. And what I walk alongside people trying to help them understand is, yes, verse 17 is real, and it's happened, and it's happening. And so whether it's trauma from human trafficking or abuse or depression or anxiety or PTSD or honestly just having difficulty getting through living in a sinful, fallen, broken world, because I don't know about you, but it is hard for me. But it doesn't have to define me. It's part of my life story, and I have to figure out what to do with it. But it doesn't define my life story. And it doesn't have to define your self-worth, whatever you've been through, your value. Does it suck, and is it hard, and should it never have happened to you? Yes. And does God's heart grieve even more than ours that it did? Yes. But it doesn't have to tell you who you are. And it doesn't have to tell you if you matter or not. And it doesn't have to define your value or your worth.
Jen, I just want to thank you. I thank you so much for just the fight that you've put into this and into these people and into this group of people and in leading the way, really, as Christians, as to how we can engage. And thank you for bringing us into the topic and hopefully bringing more warriors to the table.
Yeah,
that'd be great. We go forward. and again, just try to shine light in darkness.
Yes, absolutely.
And let's just give Jen a huge thank you, a huge round of applause.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Jen.